Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Dave, and it's a pleasure to be here. I want to wish everybody a happy Easter. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to share a little bit of testimony.
Amen.
Huh?
You may be seated.
Oh, sorry. I'm not used to doing this.
So. Pastor Bob asked Dave to share.
Okay. A crisis time in my life about January 29th, 2003 was the day that I was saved. I had been through three rehabs for a very bad alcohol addiction. I struggled with alcoholism for many years. I grew up in a very abusive household. My father was very abusive physically and psychologically, and I started drinking to cope with that at a very young age, like when I was in junior. I remember getting drunk in seventh grade and going to school the whole day drunk. So it's something I struggled with for years and years and years, and it just tore my life to pieces, just completely shattered and broke my life. And I was an atheist as well. I didn't believe in God. I thought people that believed in God were people that couldn't deal with the fact that they were mortals, that they were organisms that were going to die, just like, you know, when you squash a bug, a human being would die similarly. But since we're so intelligent, we can't cope with the fact that we're one day no longer going to exist. Mm-hmm. So January 29th, I was at a point where I had been kicked out of the last rehab I was in for drinking mouthwash. Mm-hmm. In the rehab and getting drunk on mouthwash in the rehab. I was in upstate New York. I went to Saratoga Springs to a homeless shelter. I was then kicked out of the homeless shelter for drinking mouthwash in the homeless shelter. So I basically ended up living in the basement of a person that had took pity on me. And one evening I was lying on a concrete floor and I had reached a bottom. And I basically just said, okay, I don't believe you're there, God, but if you are, I request help now. Mm-hmm. So if you're there, I can't lose here. If you're not there, fine, I want to die. If you are there, I need your help now. I cannot stop drinking. My life was horrible. I had been through numerous emergency rooms and hospitals all around the country. And it was just I was just at a point where I couldn't. There was nothing else I could do. I went to bed that night, and I slept well, and I woke up the next morning, and I just kind of knew I wasn't going to drink anymore. Mm-hmm. And I called my mother, and she believed me. My father didn't. He didn't want anything to do with it, but my mom had faith in me. And so even though we didn't have much money left because I had burned through most of my parents' savings in the three rehabs I had been through, I ended up going to from Washington, D.C. to Riverside, California, where I went to a rehab called 10 Acre Ranch, and thus began my slow, steady march back to life as we know it. So I got sober. I went to a halfway house for a month, and then I stayed in another house for a year, and then I went to San Diego State. I had started graduate school in Washington, D.C., and I finished and got my master's degree at San Diego State, stayed sober. And here I am today. Amen. But it's all through the power of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And basically what I did was I said, you know, here are my car keys to my life. And I just threw them on the ground. I said, Jesus, please, can you deal with that from now on? I don't want to do this anymore. So I give every day I wake up and I give my life to Jesus. I give my life to Christ every single day. And I say a prayer every day. I ask the Lord, dear Lord, please give me the courage, strength, and conviction to follow your will. One small step at a time. I don't need to know where I'm going. I just need enough light in front of me to take the next step. Mm-hmm. It's a pleasure to be here. I hope I've inspired or touched some of you. And I just want to let you know that that Jesus is real. He is here. Mm-hmm. And we are all so blessed.
Amen. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God is, there we go. God is good. All the time? Praise the Lord. It is Easter Sunday. It is Resurrection Sunday. And I don't know if you've realized it yet, but we're going to do things a little bit different today. On Friday, we had a service, and we celebrated Jesus' death. You know, and it's not normally something that we are at peace with, celebrating someone's death. But in this water baptism tank back here, which is still full and is still cold, and if the Lord speaks to your heart, we'll baptize you at the end of this service. But it is a display of newness of life, that indeed you go down in the water, that signifies the passing of your old life, and then you are raised to new life in Christ. That is the picture, and that is what I want to bring to life today. For that new life to come, the old life has to go. Can't live two lives. And we are faced with a choice today and every day, and Dave spoke of that, and the choice said, God, if you're out there, I don't even know if you're there, but Lord, if you're out there, I need some help. And he says every day he surrenders his life and says, I want to know a little bit more about that. Dave shared the destruction in his life, and I can relate. My story, albeit very different, is not all that different from Dave's. And many of you can probably relate. And I know some of you have come here because your kids dragged you today. Some of you have come just because it's Easter. And some of you are going, hey, wait a minute. How come we're not in the Gospels? How come we're not? Because this is going to be a different Easter. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. If you've been coming to our church of late, I have shared about my Volvo. And my attempt, see, my Volvo is a picture of dying in life. It is fixed. It is, in fact, outside. I drove it today. My wife would be so happy to see that car hauled off to the wrecking yard. To date, I have put two heads on it and a new motor. And go through all this drama, all this challenge. I mean, I put the heads on myself, me and Joe. And Joe sometimes didn't complete all of his tasks. But go through all that, and then you get the excitement and the anticipation, saying, oh, yeah, the Volvo's going to run, and it runs for like a week. See, I got that, oh, yeah, the Volvo's going to run, because I'm 3 days in right now, because I fixed it on Thursday. And but it so sometimes pictures the changes we try to make in our lives. We get all excited. This is going to be the thing that is the ticket that turns the corner for me. Only to die again. So often our lives are pictures of dying. Bible tells us, indeed, that we are born into dying. I read Romans 5:12. Read Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. And you can hear of death reigning in Dave's life, to be kicked out of rehabs for drinking mouthwash. That is a degradation of life and a reigning of death. So many, can you relate? Can you relate to just see that sin begin to reign, that death begin to take over your life? And you get to the point, I don't even know if you're real, God. You get to where you are hurting so bad that you begin to cry out to heaven. God, where can I go from here? And I want to let you know that today there is an answer from heaven. that Leo in the tank came, said, my life was an empty box, and the Lord is beginning to fill me up. Amen. Amen. Were you blessed by that?
Yes.
I would imagine that after church, if you talk to Sarah de Dios, and you know, habla español, if you speak Spanish, she's going to tell you all the stuff she was going to tell you in there because you'd be warm. And Teddy and Dana and the ladies in that house gathering daily to study God's word. There is an answer from heaven. Many of us have received that answer. This morning, at great risk and challenge, I'm going to have some people share their answers with you. They're going to come up and share much in the same way as Dave shared. But the message today, the title of the message, is Reaching Out to the Resurrection. You know, I forgot. I had those verses up there. That's the next one that's coming up. George Viorini is going to come up and share about Walter and share about his answer. Go all the way up there, bro.
I didn't really want to be in front of these lights, but I will do it for all of you. Because I love you all. I love this church. I love God. There was a time, though, when I turned my back on God, because I was born in 1956. And in 1969, I was invited to a church by a real pretty little girl who was going to be in my middle school class. And I said, okay. I didn't know what she was inviting me to until I got there. But God touched me when I was 13 years old and said, I want you. And for 2 years, I followed God real hard, 13 to 15. And then I turned 16, I went to high school. I turned my back on God. And I turned my life to drugs, alcohol, everything I knew I shouldn't be doing, but I did it anyway. To the point where I got hooked on cocaine when I was 17. And that lasted for about 40 years. Oh, yeah. But I finally let that go. And then I moved from New York to San Diego. San Diego was like beautiful. I mean, I'm never leaving this place. There was jobs. And I got into the professional junkyard business. I started selling car parts. I did that for 30 years. And everywhere I went, they wanted me to work somewhere else because I was that good at it. I thought I was king. I thought I was on top of the world, making good money, all under the table, all cash, partying, had everything I ever wanted, I thought. And found out that I was overtaken by technology because I didn't go to school. I didn't learn. I can't even type to this day. I can barely text somebody. Don't ask me to do Facebook. Don't ask me to do any of that stuff. I can't do anything. I can't even take a picture. I've got the phone, but I can't do it. I refuse to do it because I'm old school. For those of you who don't know me, I'm 59 years old. I'm surprised I've lived this long. Thanks be to God, though, I'm going to live a lot longer. I'm going to live in heaven with all of you. So it's been a lot of ups and downs. But God has brought me to City Heights about 4 years ago, and I was hurting. Because I had just gotten evicted from Logan Heights, had nowhere to go, had to move over here to 45th Street to share a house with some people who were not so godly, but they told me where I could get free food. So I came to City Heights Assembly, because I needed food. I have no more jobs, no more money, living off of SSI that my brother's collecting, barely making the rent, recycling cans every day to get money for gas and cigarettes. It's like, hey, this is not happening to me. I never worked so hard in my life for so little, you know. I mean, I was nothing, maybe 20 bucks a day. I was used to making $100 a day for doing what I was good at, but I wasn't doing any good with it, so God said, I'm going to take it away from you. And he did. He took it away from me, and I was kicking and scratching and barely making it, but I made it over to City Heights Assembly because I was told they give away food on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And that's where I met Pastor Bob and Miss Natty Lopez, who started telling me, you need more than food. He said, you got to keep going to church. You need God's word to get into your life. And just turn back to him because he will guide you and direct you, and he has. He gave me a new job. I work for the Lord now. The pay is still not that great. But I understand the retirement plan is like the best retirement plan in the world. Yeah, amen. So I'm here to serve all of you, because God put it on my heart. You're here to serve, not to serve him, but serve all of you. And I do it with joy, and I consider it a real blessing. Thank you all.
Nanny Lopez is going to come up with great hesitation. And she's told me, I can't do it in English. I said, do it in Spanish.
Everybody knows me, and it's hard for me to get it in English and then in Spanish, so I'm going to do it in Spanish. So whoever doesn't understand, I am very sorry. I'm going to start. Voy a empezar cuando era una niña. De donde me acuerdo yo para acá. A mi papá lo mataron cuando yo era muy niña, como a los 3 años, y muy poco me acuerdo. 4 años, 5 años tenía cuando mi grandma fue para allá, para México, y nos trajo a mi mamá, a mi hermano y a mí. Venimos sin papeles aquí a este país, y pues estuve en la escuela, eso es lo que sé. That's my English that I know from 4 years. And estuve en la escuela y 4 años estuve, fue lo que aprendí de inglés, y con eso es lo que estoy hablando ahorita, inglés. No fui a la escuela ya más. Mi mamá nos llevó a México otra vez, que íbamos de vacaciones. No íbamos de vacaciones, allá nos dejó y se vino ella otra vez para acá. Muchas privaciones, muchas cosas, viviendo con diferentes tías, hambres. Fue mi mamá otra vez, nos trajo con ella un tiempo, nos volvió a dejar, y hasta como los 16 años me trajo otra vez a Tijuana. Allí viví en Tijuana como, don't. Sorry. Allí viví en Tijuana, en alrededor donde hay muchas cantinas, y no me perdí. No por eso quiero decir que estoy salva de que no haya hecho cosas malas, porque sí, hice malas, no tomé, no fumé, no hice droga, por miedo. Pero aquí estoy, no hice todo eso, pero ya en mi adolescencia arreglé mi pasaporte, me vine para acá. Perdón. Y ya acá tuve a mi primer hijo, que no fue deseado, fui abusada, y tengo a mi primer hijo y lo quiero mucho. He's right there. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Y yo no quería subir, pero Pastor Bob me dijo que sí, que era tiempo, porque Dios ha hecho muchas cosas en mí. Tuve a mi primer hijo, después conocí al papá de mi segundo hijo y creía que iba a ser vida con él. Vivía para el norte, allá para el lado de Bakersfield, allá tuve a mis 2 hijos, batallando siempre. Dos hijos, ya me dejó él también, y 2 hijos, yo sola con ellos, batallando con ellos, con mis hijos, todavía sin papeles, no tenía papeles. Me fui a Tijuana, volví otra vez sin papeles, y ya cuando tenía como unos 22, 23 años, arreglé papeles. Me casé con un tío para arreglar papeles. Se me dijo que no había necesitado eso, nomás por el tiempo. En 3 meses arreglé aquí. Estoy aquí desde hace muchos años. Entonces, ya tuve, después de 10 años, conocí a otro señor, y tuve a mi tercer hija después de 10 años, pensando que no iba a salir embarazada porque él me mintió, pero yo, tonta, volví a creer y salí embarazada, y tengo a mi hija después de 10 años de los otros dos. Entonces, pues ya, iba a la iglesia desde chiquita, católica, pero no iba regularmente a la iglesia. Y estaba algo dentro de mí como vacía, vacía. Estaba yo necesitando algo, pero no sabía qué era. Cuando ya viví aquí, cerca de la iglesia, como 17 años, aquí media cuadra por la 37, estaba yo ya en la casa, ya mi hija estaba más grande, ya estaba yo, pues mis hijos también tuve muchos problemas con ellos porque anduvieron en droga. Muchos de ustedes saben de Ricardo, el otro también me dio muchos problemas. So, up and downs. So, ya que empecé, a una amiga mía me invitó a la iglesia, yo no quería venir. Yo vine por la comida, pero no necesitaba la comida, pero la veía, llevaba lo que me gustaba y pasaba. Yo estaba aburrida en mi casa, limpiando la casa, puro limpie, cleaning house all the time, cleaning, bored. So, I had nothing to do but being bored, just cleaning house, cleaning the yard, the plants, everything, but I was really bored. Y no tenía nada que hacer. So, me invitó a la iglesia un domingo, llegó, y ya se me acuerdo, no recuerdo exactamente la fecha, pero vine y estaba la iglesia llena porque estaban los de Teen Challenge aquí, y sin bañarme, me quité la pijama y vamos a la iglesia. So, después de ese día empecé a venir ya más seguido. De repente, el Pastor Dave nos pasó hojas para llenar y no sabía de qué era. Se trataba de estudiar en TUMI, clases de TUMI. Y empecé sin saber lo que estaba haciendo. Entonces yo no tengo mucha preparación ni mucha escuela. Se me olvida todo. Si está hablando el pastor, when he's preaching, I remember. But if you ask me, I don't know. I get straight A's, but I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I know that I'm learning. Yo quería, en mi casa, estaba allí en mi casa, quería venir y le dije a Dios, quiero saber de ti, porque cuando vine a la iglesia, Pastor Bob estaba predicando y yo quería saber. Yo no sabía de la Biblia, nunca la había abierto. Le dije a Dios, yo quiero saber de ti. Y fue en TUMI cuando yo empecé más a conocer a Dios. Entonces, yo allí me sentí ya liberada de todo eso cuando empecé a venir. Me bauticé y sentí ese día, porque yo sentí que ese día Cristo entró en mí, porque yo sentí livianita, me sentía nubes volando, me sentía como en nubes, no sé, yo me sentí muy bien. Yo pienso que este muchacho se va a sentir igual, no sé, yo sentí así. Y ya empecé a venir más seguido, tengo muchas cosas que yo hago aquí. Dios me ha dado esas cosas. El pastor me dice, tú este ministerio y este ministerio, estoy en la directiva del board, no sé cómo se dice en español. Estoy en ese lugar ahorita y de la comida, el ministry de la comida. Todo eso ha sido porque Dios me quiere aquí en esta iglesia, porque tuve también un percance con mi pastor y vengo otra vez a la iglesia. Y aquí estoy y ya me falta una clase más para graduarme de TUMI. Y I don't know. I mean, it's very exciting for me because I don't even know how I did it or how I'm doing it because I forget, but I'm going to graduate in one more class. So, that's my ministry.
That was not bad, huh? I got a cleaning house, Bakersfield. Up and down. That's good. God is good, amen. Ann Simpson's going to share.
Good morning, friends. My life started out in Indiana, and we moved to Florida when I was almost 11. We moved completely away from all family and friends, and I came from a house filled with violence, abuse, alcohol, and poverty. And there was no family around, like I said, to help or influence us. My family was ungodly. No one in my house served God. At 12 years of age, a neighbor came over and knocked on our back door, asked me to Sunday school in the church. And I went. I went with her. I walked over to her house, walked inside of her house, and that was the first picture I'd ever seen of love. Love in a family. Love between a husband and wife, a mom and a dad, and a brother and sister. And I was just blown away by that. Went to church with them, came back home, and I just couldn't get that out of my mind, how their family acted. And then I walked back into my chaotic situation. I started going with them about the sixth or seventh week of going. The pastor preached a message, And I just understood it clearly. And I went to the altar to receive Christ. And I was kneeling at the altar. And Jesus said to me, so clear in my mind, I can just see it and hear it today. He said, I love you. That was the first time I'd ever heard anybody say, I love you. Had never heard that in my home from a mom or dad or anybody. So it was so powerful. And as his love washed over me, he demonstrated his love. It completely washed over me. And when I saw that love, I saw my lostness. I saw my wretchedness. And he said, if you'll make a commitment to me, I'll make a commitment to you. I repented of my sins. I cried my eyes out at the altar. And I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. I was totally transformed that day. Brand new in Christ. A new creature. So excited. Went back home. Went in to tell my family. They made fun of me. Mocked me. Bullied me. That's how my family was. I want to go back and say that when I was at the altar, Jesus, he showed me two paths. It was like a vision. He showed me two paths. One path that would go down to destruction if I continued that way, and one path walking with Christ and what that would mean in my life and how I would be transformed. I got to see both paths, and I got to choose. And I'm so thankful that God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, showing me those paths, because I could see them today as well and as clear as I could see them that day when I was 12 years old. That's always stayed with me. Shortly after that, I'm not sure of the time frame, but Melissa Whitaker, the 10-year-old who had invited me, a 12-year-old, to go to Sunday school and church, one day a truck came and moved them out. Everything was packed up, and they moved. And not only that, but they got their house moved. Their house was picked up and moved. And it was not a mobile home, it was a house. And it was gone. And I always considered that God brought them there and put them in that place long enough to be an instrument to show me to Christ, to show me what love was, the first one to ever show me what love was, and to be an instrument to lead me to Christ by bringing me to church and Sunday school. And that was so powerful. And I still in wonder, think about that today, how God did that. And there's something else I wanted to share. You know, Jesus will speak to you if you're open to listen to him, just like he spoke to me. And he can cause you to rise up, and he can cause you to be the witness in your family and a witness to your generation and a witness to people if you stay committed to him. Yes. Pastor asked me some questions yesterday, and I was sharing with him. One thing really stood out to me. After I got saved, they asked me to join the choir and sing at 12 years old. So I was very glad. Coming to church just got me out of my chaotic situation for a little while and got me out of my distress. And in the choir, it was coming up to Easter, and the choir was going to sing songs. I didn't have any clothes to wear. I never had proper clothes, or because of our poverty, we didn't have proper food or clothes or care. And this lady in her 70s, her name was Mrs. Grant, and she was part of the choir. She stood by me. She went to her house, and she came to church one day with the measuring tape, and she measured me. And they could clearly see how I dressed, that we were totally poor. She went to her house, and she handmade me a dress out of the same material she made her dress, the same pattern. And it looked like a person 70 years of old wear. And I wore it that day, and I was so touched by the kindness of this Christian woman. I had not had many kindnesses shown to me in my life. And I remember and think about her still to this day fondly, and every kindness that someone has shown me in my life since then. That was the first real kindness. I remember. I can think back time and time again of the kindnesses that was shown to me. That kindness can be so powerful and such a blessing in your life and in others. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever background you come from, if you totally understand the gospel, when you see it and understand it, when you're called by God, answer that call. Be totally committed, 100% committed. And when you're totally and 100% committed to him, he will be totally 100% committed to you. He will bring you through this life in victory, in power, and he will use you. His plans and purposes are mighty. Amen.
Powerful testimonies. Thought I had some problems. I've been through some things, but about a couple of years back, I was at work, and I got news that my father had passed away, and he always had a sense of humor. He told me he was going to go out with a bang, and he died on New Year's Eve. A few years after that, my mother passed away 2 days before Christmas. After that, I came home. I was really in a state of depression, having lost both of my parents so close together. And then I found out that my job, I work in the medical field, of 28 years, had been eliminated. So I had lost my job. So I had to move from a place that we had a house. We had been staying there for 16, 17 years, so I had to move because I had lost my job. In addition, I don't know if you guys remember, around that same time, stock market crashed. My 401, I lost big time on that. So all my financials, most of my financial went down the drain. The IRS was on my back. And so I moved to City Heights, right up on 35th Street, and I was going through all this depression and all this, and I just told myself, what else could happen? What else could go wrong in my life? What else could happen? So I said, I'm going to turn my life over to Christ. I want to make a recommitment. I told my wife, and she decided she wanted to separate. So in addition to all those things that had happened, my wife wanting to separate, we had to move into a small one-bedroom apartment right here on 38th. And it was me, my three kids, and two grandkids in a one-bedroom apartment. And my neighbors, Rena, in the back, they live right under me. I feel sorry for them. Having to put up with us, what we did. But you know, back before I had moved, after I turned my life over to God, and I said, I need a church. So I started walking. I didn't have a car. I had lost three cars. I couldn't afford to pay. One was repossessed. And so I just started walking. I said, I'm going to go to church. I'm going somewhere. So I started walking east, and I ran into this church. I came in, it was late, service was late, and I said, I got to come back. So I came back, and I met somebody, and they said, well, why don't you come during the day for the food ministry? So I came, I got acquainted with some people, and so I was coming to church because I needed something. I needed to hear the word. And as soon as I got here, I talked to Pastor Bob, and he goes, hey, can you help with the painting? And I was thinking, wait a minute, I didn't come to paint. I came to hear the word. I want to get in the church. And so here I was. I said, okay, well, you know, they had a food ministry, and I said, at least I can do is some work. And so I was out there painting for First thing I felt like Daniel on wax on, wax off. You know what I mean? Painting the church, painting the outside. You see the outside out here? That was me. But you know how God will use circumstances and use people. He used Brother Steve, and he gave me his testimony about his life and about how God had changed him and how he had a stroke and he had to come back from that stroke. And it really touched me. It made me think that if someone can persevere and go through all those things, then so can I. And it just uplifted me. And so I started to come. I started to come. I got involved in this church. If you come, you will not sit still. You will be doing something. So I was asked to serve as an usher. I've been on the praise team. And I've been so blessed to co-lead the Celebrate Recovery for all those people. Like Pastor Bob said, if you're hurt, if you have habits or hang-ups, come and be with us on Monday. And, you know, it's been a blessing. All those things that I have gone through, I can say that I have a peace, an abiding peace, that the world can't take away from me. And that, you know, that Bible verse that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is really true. I believe that if you have any problem, any situation, God can fix it. He can fix any brokenness, because I'm a living testimony of all those things that I went through, and I'm here to tell you today that I have been blessed. And we are overcomers by the word of our testimonies. You've heard these testimonies. I've heard those testimonies in Celebrate Recovery of people that were down but with Christ. And that is what's exciting about today, is that saving grace, that same resurrection power, is a power that transforms our lives, transforms us and takes us out of where we are to a new person in Christ. That's so symbolic of that baptism that we just saw, and raises us to a new person in Christ. Amen. And I thank you. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my good friend Terry. She's kind of been with me for a long time and kind of talked me through a lot of my problems and stuff, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate you all, and I appreciate the church, the pastor, and God is good. Amen. Amen. All right.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Tommy. Not like any Easter you've heard before, right? I did that. We had Dave start. We had the folks in the baptism tank to start. We had George, Natty spoke in Spanish, Ann and Tommy. I'm hoping that was wide enough that you might be able to connect and identify with some of the pain that has gone through. Stories of death and stories of life. Amen. That life does indeed follow death. Now, I read this verse 18 for you. Consequently, just as a result of one trespass was condemnation for all men. See, and we can relate to the condemnation part. We can relate to the sin part. We can relate to the death part. I could. I know that. All the way until the time I was 29, I could relate. What I could not relate to was the life part. And that answer is what I'm hoping that we can bring. That these that have spoken this morning have given you enough of a clue on how you might find an answer from heaven. Because, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men, and life for all women, and life for all children. Anne spoke of a message that came to a 12-year-old. Many of you have children that are here today, and we want to bring that message of life to them, that they might not live their lives not hearing that they are loved. Can I get a witness on that part? See, it was the act of righteousness. It was the act of crucifixion, that Jesus was hung on a cross for my sin, for Tommy's sin, for Dave's sin, for all of our sin.
that we might die with him, that we might experience new life, that we might be set free, that we might have a choice in our lives. Ann talked about paths, that there are indeed two paths. Jesus talks about a wide path that leads to destruction. This is two elevators, one going down, one going up. One going down, those are flames. You can guess what that signifies. There is one escalator that goes up, and that signifies going to heaven. And this morning, if you have not chosen, you are on the path that is on the left. You see, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us that we are born into sin, that we have been born into death. And it is Jesus' crucifixion that takes us off that path to death. But it is his resurrection that opens the path to life.
Amen.
He is raised to new life that we can follow him. There is a picture in the water baptism tank that we are die to our old life. We are crucified with him and we are raised to new life in him. And there is the element, the opportunity this morning as we celebrate the resurrection. The reason that we celebrate the resurrection is not just that it validates everything that is said in the Gospels. It validates the message of Jesus. But Jesus tells us, the Holy Spirit tells us, that the resurrection also gives us something to grab onto, that we can grab onto his resurrection and we can be raised to new life. And so, if you come in here this morning and you identify with Tommy's financial issues, with Ann's issues in her life of no love, of addicted father, of Dave's addiction, of the pain that was here, and I don't know, well, actually, I do know what was going on with Natty, but if you understand and what was going on with that, if you can grab onto that, but you cannot yet grab onto the answer that comes from heaven, I want to bring you that answer this morning. It comes in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We go down and we die to our old lives. Dave, you still use mouthwash?
No.
No more mouthwash. Definitely no more drinking mouthwash. Spit it out. Baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptized into death in order that the reason behind it, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's why we celebrate the resurrection. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection.
Amen.
That is the picture of the baptism tank. That is why we testify to what God has done through us, in us, for us. Dying to the old life, raised to new life in him. You can reach out. You can reach out. Grab onto Jesus' life. Enough muddied around, enough messing around, enough trying to find quick fix. Anybody know about quick fixes? Try this, try that. My Volvo's running today. You know where I found my answer? eBay. I had gone down to the junkyard, one of George's friends. Said, I need a fuel pump for my Volvo. Got a fuel pump. It's incredibly hard to put that fuel pump in. And I put that fuel pump in, and it worked for about 5 seconds. And so often, the quick fixes that we try in our lives last about 5 seconds. And we're back to dying all over again. I said, oh, go on eBay. Package came last Wednesday. I was sick all day. Thank you for your prayers. And on Thursday afternoon, I got enough gumption to open that box, put that fuel pump in that Volvo. I'm driving it today. New life. It's your choice. Quick fix, more death, angry wife, get rid of that thing. I shudder to think what she's doing behind me right now. But Jesus says, I have new life. Will you grab on to me? And so the question on Easter 2016, stuff going on with the kids, carnitas downstairs, all kinds of stuff. Big question. Are you ready to follow? Do you hurt bad enough yet? Because the Bible tells us that death reigns in our lives. And the only way to be set free from death is new life in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Natty got it. Ann got it. Amen. Dave got it. Those who are in the baptism tank got it. Tommy got it. I got it. Many of us here today have that new life in Christ.
Amen.
But maybe you're here. And you're spending all your living dying. Today can be a change. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we come here this morning and that your death on the cross has given us an option and your resurrection has cleared the way that we can grab onto you, that we can grab onto your resurrection and we can find new life. Lord, I hurt enough. Dave hurt enough. Natty and Ann and Tommy hurt enough to cry out to heaven and say, God, show me the way. The way comes right through this church this morning. And you are here this morning and you hurt bad enough that you are willing to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are ready to grab onto new life in Him with nobody looking around. The Lord is speaking to your heart saying, don't leave here this morning in the pain that you came in. You can be transformed. You can be made new. You can be full today. I will change your life. Nobody looking around. God, speak in your heart. I want you to say by a raised hand, Lord, I want that. I'm not going to leave right here, all over the place. All over the place this morning. Lord.